In 1966, Time magazine asked, "Is God dead?" Now best-selling author Eric Metaxas takes that famous question and turns it around when he asks, "Is atheism dead?" In his bestseller titled, "Is Atheism Dead?" Metaxas offers a provocative answer as he shows atheism to be not only implausible and intellectually sloppy, but also demonstrably ridiculous. Get your copy of "Is Atheism Dead?" available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, hello and good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the voice of the Christian resistance. Hey, I've been on all week. You know the voice by now. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders while he's at home and recovering from a shoulder surgery. Allow me to introduce the guests. We're going to get right into it right off the bat because there's a lot going on. You would not believe. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, from the state of Missouri, let's welcome in Joe Larson. Joe, good to have you tonight.
Good evening. Glad to be back with y'all.
John McTernan, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, and God bless you and always all our listeners.
And lovely Elaine Conley, good to have you tonight.
Good evening, everyone.
Randy Gay, good to have you, my friend.
Good evening. Be blessed, no stress. And all I want to say right off the bat is 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Please give us a call tonight. We need you. Also, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Those are the numbers for the pledge. For those of you that want to go online, it's wrwl.org, and you can certainly go online and do that yourself. Thank you very much, and we really need you. This is the last night of pledge night, and we really need you. Thank you.
And we have lovely Lisa. You are always so happy to see me when I'm in here.
Well, good evening, everyone.
And who do we have back there managing the phones tonight? Randy,
Craig. Craig. That's Courageous Craig. And also in the back, managing our phone, are the Ritzes, Ron and Barb, husband and wife team, and they are our computer top cats.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you.
And then don't forget Eric.
And there's Eric. Oh, how could we forget Eric? He's a wonderful guy. I want to thank each and every one of you for this whole week for sitting in and allowing me to come in as a voice for Pastor Sanders. Grab your pencils because later on I got a couple addresses. There's a lot going. Joe and John McTernan, it's their show tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Producer.
And our producer, Craig, for spinning the dials. We want to thank you so much. So get your pencils. I got a couple things for later on in the show. I'm going to give you some things to write down. So without further ado, John, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Coach. And I'm going to be leading in Bible study tonight. And what I want to lead on or speak is a very, very serious issue. And it is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go to Luke 4:18, and the verse goes like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Semicolon. That semicolon is very important. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, the word bruised there, when you take a little Greek study of it, it's crushed. It's not just like a little bruise on your arm, let's say. It's like you're bruised from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now, what's so important about this is that this is his ministry, and it comes from Isaiah. It's a scripture that comes from Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3, and it's a prophetic scripture about the ministry of Israel's Messiah. And the Lord was in the synagogue reading scriptures, and he read this verse from Isaiah 61. It's recorded in the New Testament here. And then it was actually like the start of his ministry. And he said, in this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now, what I want to emphasize in this, and this is critically important, and I'm going to intertwine a little bit of testimony in it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, poor in spirit. That was preached to me on August 4th, 1974, out in the street. I came to my testimonies. I came to the Lord from a street preacher. And of all things, he was a Jewish believer, and he preached the gospel, and I came to the Lord, and I confessed Christ as my Lord and Savior, and have never looked back, folks. Not once did I look back. All those years, I never drifted to the right or to the left. I stayed true to the Lord. However, there was something in me that was not right, that when the gospel was preached to me, it didn't touch. It touched a lot of things internally in me. And it took 30 years. It took from 1974 to almost 2004 to find out and God to reveal to me I had a broken heart. And the broken heart came, and folks, everybody in this world, to one degree or another, without Christ, has a broken heart. And mine came from a divorce and things that happened as a result of the remarriage. My mother remarried, and it did not go well for me. I'm just going to leave it at that. But it was a broken heart that I had. And I, when I believed I had a broken heart, I asked the Lord to heal it, and he did. I could actually feel him healing my broken heart. And I didn't know I had it, folks. It wasn't until 30 years after I came to the Lord, he healed my broken heart, and almost immediately, he threw me out into the ministry of healing the broken heart. And what I'm tying all together here is that semicolon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, semicolon. So I wanted to share quickly how to define a semicolon. It's defined as it's used between two main clauses that balance each other and are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. So it's two complete thoughts that are linked, and they're so closely linked that you can't divide them. That's what the semicolon does. It joins them. So he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. That means to free the mind of strongholds, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty, to set free them that are crushed, oppressed by Satan. That's what that phrase actually means. So he sent me to heal the brokenhearted has nothing to do with salvation, folks. Nothing. It has to do everything about the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came not only to save our souls, to forgive our sin, so that we also could have eternal life with God, our Abba Father in heaven, but he came to take those broken hearts that this world will do. This is a sin-cursed, fallen world. And if you live long enough in this world, and you don't have to be too old into it, like I was a very young kid when my heart was torn apart, to have a broken heart. It could be the loss of a loved one that could just absolutely blow our hearts apart and all, whatever it is. But he came to heal the brokenhearted. And that's what I needed, folks. When I came to Christ, I needed that to be preached also, because I struggled for 30 years. And I've ministered now in these 20 years, I guess since, 20 years. And I prayed with hundreds into the thousands of people. And still right now, right this week, I've been praying for people for healing of broken hearts. God has done tremendous healings through this ministry. And I want to give you the symptoms of a broken heart. And this comes from praying for so many people, and then including with myself. Fear in various forms is a sign of a broken heart. Depression, feeling of hopelessness, mourning, sorrow, grief is the sign of a broken heart. Christ has come to heal that. Constant feelings of condemnation. Deep feelings of loneliness. That is what my heart was full of. When the Lord healed me of a broken heart, that's exactly what he reached into my inner being, and I could feel it being like ripped out of me. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ said in the scriptures that he had to depart and he would say for this comforter to come. And that's exactly what I needed. I needed that feelings of loneliness removed, and that in feeling of the comforter of the Holy Spirit. And this one here is a sure indicator of a broken heart. Vivid memories of traumatic events. It's like imprinted on us, folks. The thing that broke our heart, it's imprinted. And as I've ministered to people through the years, I remember one woman that I ministered to. She was 80 years old, and she had a broken heart, and it went back to when she was 10 years old with her mother and things that her mother did to her as a 10-year-old. Here the woman is 80 years old. She could tell me what dress she was wearing that day, what color it was. Vivid memories 70 years later. So that vivid memories of traumatic events, if we recall them, if they are free in our mind, the Lord's come to heal us of that. That it's put in the past, and it's left in the past, and we're not reliving it. We're free from it. That's part of having our hearts healed. Now, this, what I'm telling you, I've also used in my ministry, and occasionally we mention it, Pastor Ernie and myself mention it, in Pakistan, in India, in East Africa, in Nigeria. And every time I preach there the gospel, sometimes I preach Luke 4:18. The first part is John 3:16. And the second part, I go into Luke 4:18, and I share that, and I preach it to the people. So not only do I preach the salvation message, but we're dealing with people that are in horrific physical conditions there. Broken hearts from poverty, abuse, oppressive religion. Their lifespan is short. They lose children at early ages. They've got incredible broken hearts. And they come to the Lord because they want salvation. They want their hearts healed. Then I pray to have their minds set free from strongholds. Pray over them that they're delivered from being oppressed of Satan. Actually, I go beyond that also into praying. They're coming with tremendous curses on their background, religious curses and other curses. I pray to free them of that. pray for a outpouring of the Holy Spirit on him. Tell him to be, you need to be baptized now. You need to be water baptized as disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's incredible, the results, folks. It's absolutely incredible. These people are so free, and they're assured of their salvation. They're free in their hearts. And I also pray for women that have been sexually molested. There's a lot of that going on here, and there is a ton of it going on in the third world there. I pray to have homosexuals free from that bondage. That's all praying for healing broken hearts, breaking strongholds. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Praying for them for the healing of their salvation, for the healing of their broken heart. That's not for salvation, folks, but it's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I want to share something, how this is also part of what the Lord did on the cross. Let's turn to Isaiah. Hang on here, folks, while I turn to Isaiah 53, and it's the famous chapter in the Bible about the ministry of the Lord and his death on the cross and what it meant in the forgiveness of sin. But there's three scriptures in it that when we stop and look at it, it's not dealing with sin. It's dealing with a broken heart. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, we esteemed him not. Now look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's a broken heart, folks. The Lord was acquainted with that. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart. And then in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. He took them upon him, on the cross, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So on the cross, it was so important to God that our heart was healed, that Jesus took whatever broke our heart. He took it so that we could be healed from it. Then verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We could not have full peace until after the cross. After Jesus died, and it says here, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. After that, we could have full peace with God, the peace that passes all understanding. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So whatever prevents us from having real peace with God, Jesus Christ took it on the cross. And then we have a semicolon, and with his stripes, we are healed. So that stripes that we are healed, when we look what it's attached to, the among other things, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So on the cross, Jesus Christ took what was ever needed that we may have perfect peace in this life and perfect peace with God. That's how important it is to God that have our hearts healed. Because if our heart is not healed and it's full of fear, let's say, it's full of guilt and shame, full of depression and things like that, that will alienate us. Even though we have salvation in Christ, it will alienate us to have that full relationship with God as our Abba Father. So when we look at the Lord's ministry, we need salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have that full relationship he wants us to have with him, we need our hearts healed. I didn't even get into strongholds in the mind, but that kind of goes along with having our hearts healed. And any oppression we have, he wants us free from it
so then we can have a tender relationship with God as our Abba Father. But we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. A very tender relationship with the creator of the universe wants us to have salvation with him. He wants us to have our hearts healed, full of joy and peace and love, have our minds filled with joy, peace, and love, free from bondage, and to have the relationship that we are his little children and he is our Abba Father. What I want to do is at the end of the show is to pray like I would in, we'll say, Kenya. And I want to offer the same prayer of salvation tied together with the healing of broken hearts. And the prayer for the healing of a broken heart may be for people that know the Lord, but their heart is broken. And it may be for someone that doesn't know the Lord, but that will go together at one time. And that's what I needed, folks. Way back in August 4th of 1974, I'm very thankful that the gospel of salvation was preached. But at that point, I needed to be prayed over for the healing of a broken heart, which God did get to me 30 years later. And then I'm very thankful for that. And he threw me out into the ministry of healing the broken heart. So, Brother Joe.
Well, let me interrupt real quick here to give a quick update. Andrea in Illinois pledged $2,000. Danny in Detroit gave $50. B&B in Ohio, $400. Dale in Michigan, $100. Wanda from Texas, $200. Betty and Ernie from Texas, $20. Cynthia pledges $2,500, but we don't know where she's from. But I want to thank you so much. God bless all of you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, wait a minute. I just got an update. My screen just moved again, so please hang in there with me. Okay, we're going to now. Richard in Wadsworth pledges $100. Patricia in New Jersey pledges $90. Joe in Massachusetts pledges $50. Geza in Cleveland pledges $100. And Susan in Michigan pledges $100. God bless you. That's Geza.
Wow.
Forgive me.
888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-6793. I'm sorry, 9673. Gee, I'm punch drunk now tonight.
You're going to get me laughing again.
677-9673.
Elaine and I's laughing.
888-677-9673. Now, also, if you want to do it by mail, you can certainly go WRWL Ministry, and that's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, and that's 44065. Please keep it coming, and thank you ever so much. It's encouraging, and believe you me, as you well know, we don't waste it. We send it back to you.
Amen, and remember, we're all volunteers, so when you hear us, you know, have senior moments or get confused, you know, like I introduce myself as a highly unpaid professional because none of us take any money. But, John, Big John, that was a marvelous Bible study.
Beautiful.
So many people forget. It's 1 Peter 5:7, made it quite clear, cast all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He careth for you because he loved us. He says, bring your cares. Come unto me, all ye who travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. He doesn't say, I'm going to fix everything, you know, take away any problems, but refresh and strengthen and permit you to have what you need to carry on, pilgrim. But you give your cares to him, and once you learn to call upon him,
and give him your pain, your agony, your fears, he will take it away, like you said. But you hear, you got a good point. You seldom hear anybody preaching on that. And
right.
I might even be remiss myself. I know I've quoted First Peter, but I don't think I've done an entire Bible study just on that need. And that need is great in this world. And I guess after the break, we can kind of go into that, because right now there are more people out there who are suffering fear and broken hearts.
All right, gentlemen, I got to interrupt you. We got now, before we go to this song, John, what you just read or was quoting today and how you preached, I think this song is going to come right from your heart.
Amen.
Lovely Lord, you know, folks, Jesus loved you so much that he came to earth to take our place. He lived a sinless life in our place. He shed his precious blood, God's blood, to wash our sins away. He was willingly stripped, naked, whipped, falsely accused, punched in the face, put a crown of thorns on his head. He knew this was going to happen before the foundation of the earth, but he loved us so much that he let those Romans put those nails in his hands and in his feet, and they hung him up on a cross, as the Bible says, if I be lifted up high, I will draw all men unto me. And then they buried him, and 3 days later, he arose. Lovely Lord, a song by Petra. I love that song, and it fitted right in what John told us all tonight. We use with the broken heart. We just got a pledge from Keith Davey from Brunswick, Ohio, for $100. And I have a special note. Keith Davey, he challenges the Brunswick High School to match him. So there's another $100 to the kitty.
Yeah, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Coach, I spoke to Pastor Ernie today.
Yep.
And I told him how I was going to open up with this Healing the Brokenhearted. And then I'd need more time at the end for prayer.
Oh, you got it.
So, yeah. So I just want to advise you, more time than usual.
No, you got it. How much? Tell me what you need, brother. I'm an air traffic controller here tonight.
Give me 10 minutes.
You got it.
Okay.
Randy's pointing a gun at me, so you'll get it.
Air traffic controller. And people, he's a helicopter.
Blackhawk.
If the people would have pen and paper handy, I'll give them how to contact me for follow-up and some other things that I want to leave with them so they can contact me. So be ready at the end to write down how to reach me.
And one real quick one. Frank in Brooklyn pledges $33.
Oh, praise God.
God bless you. Thank you. Yeah. And he wants to visit the church this summer.
A lot of times the small donations people don't call in, but I just want to remind the listeners that the bulk of what gets us through every single month are the small donations of like $20 that come in every month, and those regular donations have been the foundation of this ministry for many years. So
you ready for another one?
Bless all those that don't make a pledge, but just donate. We just thank you and appreciate you.
Are you ready for another pledge?
One more, okay, and then I got to tell John something.
Coach Dwayne from Brunswick, Ohio, pledges $100. Go Buckeyes.
Dwayne, I've heard that name before. Back in the past. Yes, I worked with him.
Yes, we did. For many years, we did some great shows together, man. We really did.
A lot of fun, did some good stuff.
See, I look good when I rub elbows with you and John and Hal and Ernie. It makes me look good, see?
Anyway, I want to tell one of the things I want to add to John's Bible study. It was wonderful. But it was interesting when Jesus told the disciples, you know, he was leaving, he said, "Don't worry, though, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you
Amen.
The Comforter." The
Amen.
Comforter. And a lot of people didn't catch that. The Holy Spirit, he named first as the Comforter and then explained it would be the Holy Spirit. But what was the Comforter to do? To comfort you, because what you have the indwelling of the Lord God in you by the power, through the power of that Holy Spirit in you, and that is your conscience, your comfort. That is the peace that passes all understanding. And often when you're born again, I just remember such a load lifted off my violent, ugly soul. And that comfort that comes from God, if you have a care, like Peter said, you give it to him. He will take it and remove it like he removes your sins. And I always said, it's like somebody said, well, you know, how can God forget? God can't forget. How can he forgive sins like they've never happened? And I thought, well, it's kind of like a giant eraser. God just says, this is forgiven and it's erased. It is gone. We're the only ones that bring it back up, right, guys?
That's love that, you know, you can't comprehend that. You know, when people do us wrong, it scars us, and we ask God to forgive and stuff. But God loves us so much, he says, hey, I cast your sins from the east to the west, and sometimes I sit and say, God, how can you forgive some of the stuff that I did?
Well, he's better than we are, for once.
There's something, there's an interesting scripture here that I need to share in light of what we were just talking about, and I know we can get on to other things.
But listen to 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But now look at this. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we go to verse 17, and it tells us what perfect love is. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So when we have a deep love with God, and that's that love that he's our Abba Father, and a love through Jesus Christ, as he's the groom, we're the groom and he's the bride, on the day of judgment, then I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about when we're going to have to stand before him and give account of ourselves.
It's a judgment seat.
Judgment seat. Yeah.
We've got such a love bond with God that we're going to have confidence. That boldness means confidence on the day of judgment. That's perfect love.
Good stuff.
We can come before him.
Amen. But, you know, that's another perspective, guys, that isn't it funny that we all think on earth that perfect love would cast out, we'd say, hate, but the Bible says fear.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Love casts out fear. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yes. So when we have that love that God's our Abba Father, and it's that real love, security with it, that's what they call perfect love, because we have confidence then.
That's right.
And before them. Everybody's going to have to give account of himself before God.
We got to give out the phone numbers again. Phones aren't ringing. We need to hear from you.
877-9673. 888-677-9673. Or 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. No amount is too small or too big either. Please, let's light up the lights. Thank you.
Right. We want to remind everyone, we had a donor that said he would pledge $25,000 if we could match it with large pledges. Well, we've had a lot of $1,000, $2,000, $2,500 pledges, and if we have a few more people, if God touches your heart and you've prayerfully considered supporting us, we may get enough extra to be able to go to that person and see if they would consider that enough sufficient to match. And just remind you out there, just prayerfully consider, we have like probably only 1% of the listeners donate, and we have around somewhere around 12 million, I'm told, that tune in regularly. And I just want to remind everybody, if every listener out there, the 12 million, sent in a dollar, we would not have to talk money for years.
Amen.
Amen.
So just remember, many of you out there, if you send in that dollar, $5, $10, and enough of you saying, well, okay, I've been listening for years, I've never given, well, this would be a great time to start giving. And I find it easier if you make a monthly commitment to anything, and that is one good way to make a commitment to the Lord. And God says you can lay up crowns and treasures in heaven if you support a ministry that's doing his work. Well, we've got John's ministry, we've got my ministry, we've got hospice, we've got Kingsword School of the Bible, the prison ministry, the Right to Life ministry, and all the different things that we do individually or through, or the Pastor Hal, the trucking ministry. There's a couple other things I keep forgetting. And just the doers of the word church, anything that we all do that blesses God, he says if you support, you get to share in that blessing. Amen. So you can't go wrong, folks.
And Lisa's got an offer. If you donate $100 to this radio ministry, Lisa, tell them what you'll do.
Well, this is Elaine. And
I'm sorry.
I know. He's pointing a finger at me here. And
illegal
I'm thinking,
procedure, 5 yards on Risco.
Just a short little quip. My name is Elaine Connolly, and it's Irish. And I had a nun in high school call me Elaine Connolly for 4 years to turn me into an Italian. Anyhow, I pledged $100, and I will anybody that will match that, I will give them a free phone consultation on integrative health. If you're struggling with something physically, we are healed by prayer and by our Lord. However, sometimes you got to meet halfway and change some lifestyle things.
Amen.
And I just want to take just 30 seconds to tell you about the power of prayer to enhance healing. There was a pilot study conducted at Kansas City's Heart Institute, and 990 patients suffered from a range of life-threatening heart conditions were divided into two groups before undergoing their respective medical procedures and surgeries. One group received treatments of prayer from five volunteers on a daily basis, while the second group did not. To the amazement of the researchers conducting the test, the individuals in the group receiving the prayers experienced statistically measurable benefits in their healing and recovery. The project's lead researcher stated that the patients who were prayed for just did better, and we know that.
Yes.
And Elaine, they did that years ago, many, many years ago. I can't remember the details, but I know I've heard a similar story like that a couple of times. The researchers were amazed, but then you know what? All of a sudden, quiet, crickets. Oh, because we can't go out there and say that just praying makes you get better or helps you get well faster or helps your recovery. Oh, because that goes against the narrative.
Correctly. And the narrative, what they're trying to do is eliminate God out of our lives by changing. They're attempting to change nature.
Amen.
And basically, they're not going to be able to because God created it.
And see, here's why prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful.
What's
because
that number, Elaine? Give your number, would you? Because you just you made a statement there, but we've got to get that number to match with what you said about calling in for help.
All right. My number is 440-478-4073. I'm looking at Randy. I'm going to say it slowly. 440-478-4073. And thank you, listeners.
Now, the reason prayer is so powerful, folks, because we Christians know that our God is supernatural. He is all-powerful. He does what no one else can do because he is almighty. That's why when we pray to him as a Christian, we are now adopted into his family. We've went from darkness to light. We are royalty, but the devil does not want you to believe it. He thinks, well, the last thing you do is pray. No, the first thing you do is pray. Right, John?
Amen. The very first thing. We take it to Dr. Jesus.
Amen. Now, I want to jump in with a story because of what Elaine just said. I want to tie this in before we get far enough for everybody forgets. $32 billion of taxpayer funds wasted on the mRNA vax. The Fed spent thousands of dollars per person, what? To kill them, in a way, right?
Right.
We've got this technology. They did this. And what were the results? Well, we've had casualties topping about 500,000 deaths within the first few days of taking the kill shot. 500,000. That comes from government figures. So these grants that were given out, U.S. government grants and contracts totaled $31.9 billion. $337 million was pre-pandemic. So we got a huge amount went to fight this, and there's a lot of weeds here. But it was interesting. Much of the money came from the Department of Defense to help formulate the vaccine. People don't realize that. They were 21% of the money invested came from the Department of Defense. So we take a look now. Think about this. They invested $31.9 billion to make this kill shot that, A, didn't really stop you from getting COVID. It didn't prevent death. And it caused all kinds of problems, including death from the shot itself. So here you have a vaccine, folks. The estimated cost to manufacture was $1 to $3 a dose. We got this from Pfizer and Moderna. $1 to $3 a dose. And yet, Moderna and Pfizer have announced plans to charge about $110 a dose this year for something they cost them less than $3 to make, and they have made in excess, let me turn a couple pages, like I said, there's a lot here, they have made a couple hundred, where is it? Doggone, I had somewhere. They've made billions, hundreds of billions. Now, did they, after making hundreds of billions of dollars, have they repaid the people for the $31.9 billion that were taxpayer money went for all this? No, they didn't have to pay it back, and they've made billions. So you, not only they took $32 billion from you, from the American people, the taxpayers, but they killed a half a million of you, crippled, who knows? We can't find the figures, how many others. And there are millions more who will have heart problems, other things in the coming years because of that COVID shot.
And what people need to
know. You don't trust your government out there, people? I do not understand some of you that trust your government, that listen to people like Fauci, who has made himself rich and famous. And we have these people that come on, these doctors that have risked their careers, their reputations. They've lost money. Some were, had their medical licenses threatened. Lane can tell you about that. The danger of going up against the money, and this was all about making money, making profit. It was all about greed, the love of money, the root of all evil, and it's time you people out there got angry, learned who you can trust, those who risk their life, their reputation, their income. Those people are probably the ones telling you the truth, not the ones making hundreds of billions of dollars and lying to you.
For those of you that can get on the computer, there is no safe shots related to what they're calling vaccines. Nothing is safe anymore. They've added the mRNA part of the COVID vaccine to all of the inoculations for the school children. They don't need any kind of vaccines to be healthy. Most of the states have exemptions. And it can be simply conscientious objections because it's against parents' philosophy. You need to fight for your children. There's a website you can go to get the ingredients of these vaccines. And you can show them to the doctors. You can show them to the people that are around you to spread the word. That website is vaccinesafety.edu. Vaccinesafety.edu. That is actually the website that is sponsored by John Hopkins. And when you go to that website, there is a search bar. You put in there vaccine ingredients. That will take you to the page that has the vaccine ingredients. And you click on vaccine type, T-Y-P-E, and it will bring it up. For those of you who want the direct link, I can send that to you if you call me. 440-478-4073. We need to spread the word because they're killing our kids and people are still sticking their arms out to take these so-called boosters.
Well, Elaine, the CDC just, what was it, a few days ago, we weren't able to get to it. There's been so much to talk about. Has come out and said they're recommending again still pushing the vax for children 5 and under.
And yes, they are.
The infants and babies are dying. The infants and babies are dying. Increased miscarriages galore. It's an atrocity, and it's a sin against God.
Amen to that.
We got
to
get the phone numbers out.
We need to get the phone
not ringing.
Back out. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. 110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And keep in mind, folks, that this is a pledge. You don't have to have it tonight. You're making a commitment to sending it in to us at a later date. And that's fine. We know how that works. So it's a pledge. So if you don't have it on your card or if you don't have it in your account and you get paid next week is fine. We'll be happy to receive it from you then. But please, please don't leave us out here hanging. We wanna continue to serve you and bring you these programs. And you have to admit that what John McTernan did tonight, when is the last time you heard a message like that? Probably never. and it was very, very touching. It was sensitive, and it's so accurate and so biblically based. And, of course, Joe's been doing it, and Coach all week. Elaine, we've been doing it all week. We try to bring these things to you because we try to stick in that King James Bible.
Amen.
And we're asking that you call us and let us stay on the air. Let us have the privilege of serving you another month. Thank you.
Now, I know there's somebody out there that's been listening.
Coach.
I know there's people. Pardon?
I got to make a quick correction. I made a mistake. Moderna and Pfizer only made $100 billion. It wasn't $200. I misread that. They received from the government almost $32. They made $100 billion and have not paid a penny back. I didn't want to over-exaggerate. I misread.
Well, gotcha. You really think their books are accurate?
Well,
no, this is the best we could come up with. It's still, they probably made more than that.
Well, the first year, Pfizer made $149 billion on the one product. The first year. Now, I don't know what they've done into the ripple effect, but the first year, I know for a fact that it was $149 billion to Pfizer for the one product, the shot.
And why they make all that money, I showed...
$200 billion then.
I showed the videos with the vaccines where women in their 30s and 40s are shaking uncontrollably, and they cannot stop, and there's no help for them. I showed the videos where there was a guy playing basketball, and he just fell over. Guy in a football field just fell over. People are getting uncontrollable with their bodies, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I bought the video from InfoWars. I got lockdown, mask, and I got the vaccines, and I showed those videos of what's really going on. And what's right, what's left, Radio Ministry has been hammering this from the beginning. If you like this information, we need to hear from you. If you like all the guests and the stuff that you're getting, please pick up the telephone. Give us a call. This radio ministry depends on you, and you guys have been fantastic. Now, I know real quick, there's somebody out there, you've never supported us. You said, well, they stay on the air. I know. What's going to help? We need people like you. Pick up the telephone. Give us a call. Randy, what's the number again?
888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Or 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110.
Dara in New York just pledged $35. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Right. That's what we need. I think, what do we got before the break?
You got about a minute and a half.
I've got two stories that are really, I got to get out because they make me so mad. Janet Yellen, not all uninsured deposits will be protected in future bank payments. She got some questions asked, and she said, well, we're only going to cover the uninsured deposits of those banks that pose a systemic risk to the financial system. Now, let me explain what this government jargon means. Systemic risk to them is when large campaign dem donors like Governor Newsom called in immediately because he had his account at the Silicon Valley Bank. His three wineries all had their money in the Silicon Valley Bank, and they had millions of dollars that were not insured. So a systemic risk is when the rich dem donors call in and say, you've got to save that bank. That's the new definition of systemic risk. If you're a conservative bank in the middle of Oklahoma, you're what we call SOL. Pardon the expression, but if you're just a normal conservative bank in the middle of mid-America in the flyover zone, suck it up, buddy.
30 seconds. Hey, you're listening to What's Right, What's Left. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. We just got Theo in from San Diego, pledge $150. God bless you. Don't go nowhere. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Folks, we got a great another hour coming up. You don't want to miss it. Grab a cup of coffee and come right back as we're waiting for you.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.